This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1886. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 12th, Anguilla, Argentina, Bolivia, Bougainville, Brazil, China, Ethiopia, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Korea North, Micronesia, Morocco, Netherlands, Newfoundland, North America, Peru, USA, Venezuela, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Wonder of wonders, on July 9th, I found that the Caribbean beacon Anguilla had restored decent modulation after many months of extreme distortion, making it unlistenable on the night frequency 6090 and the day frequency 11775. So once again, we could hear PMS, Pastor Melissa Scott, and DGS, Dead Dr. Gene Scott. However, on July 10th at 21:35, I found it off the air again from 11775 and still off. July 11th at 15:50. July 12th at 13:45, 11775 was back on the air. But Harold Froge in Michigan was also listening and found it went off again at 14:22 and was still off several hours later. So apparently the transmitter is not completely fixed yet. In his Listening Post column for the July issue of Communication from the British DX Club, Alan Rowe says, an opportunity to hear some great Argentinian music now that RAI is relayed via WRMI. And this really applies to all the different language hours. They do play a lot of musical interludes, especially, I think, on the Japanese program. But the talk features, basically, he has put together as follows. Now, the day of the week I will mention is when it was originally produced, but in most cases, it's actually broadcast on the following Universal Day. This is for English, but he says it's about the same in all the other languages. Monday, our football and Argentine tango. Tuesday, Argentinians without frontiers, in touch with the folklore reality. Wednesday, the talk and Argentine roots. Thursday, welcome and science and technology. Friday, DX actuality and shared stories. And I'm going to go over all the times and frequencies for these WRMI relays of RAI Argentina to the world. They are 5 days a week in most cases, and in one case, 6 days a week with an extra repeat. And they're all 1 hour long, or a few minutes less. Monday through Friday at 11 in Portuguese on 9955 and 9455. 13 in French on 11580. 14 in Spanish on 11580. That's the one also on Saturdays. 21 in German on 11580. And also, there's one more relay via Call Germany at the same time on 3985. 22 in Italian on 11580, 22 in Spanish on 5950, 01 in English, these are Tuesday through Saturday, on 9395, 06 in Japanese, 7730, 07 in English again, 5850 and 7730, 08 in Chinese on 5850, and 09 in Japanese on 5850. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody says he enjoyed DXing in Grass Hill, Ontario, a remote rural location with a low noise level, where he could hear some stations he could not pick up at home, such as on 3310 Radio Mosochaski in Bolivia, July 9th at 0114 in Quechua, with songs and two women talking, and a male choral version of Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, Ferry says, with static crashes. Ron Howard on the California coast has continued monitoring NBC Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, almost every morning on 3325, facilitated by the absence of Indonesia from the same frequency. Bougainville has been on the air a lot with election coverage. Normal sign-off is circa 1200 UT. But on July 11th and 12th, they stayed on much later. Ron was hearing them as late as 1318 on July 12th. And on the 11th, Bruce Churchill, using a remote receiver in New Zealand, says they were still going at 1705 past 1730, with election results interspersed with local pop music. Ron says the programming was different on July 11th and 12th, when extended broadcasting occurred on both days. A completely different format than heard on the previous days, July 12th, not with NBC National Radio audio feed in English, but local segments of nonstop music, such as John Denver, and segments with election results in Pidgin with local IDs. After a lot of speculation about what's the signal on 5015, presumably from Brazil, Dennis Sokby on the Radio Escutas group seems to have the final answer on July 10th. It is Radio Cultura de Cuiabá. He says it remains active on 710 medium wave and 5015. It has not been deactivated. He's heard it several times in São Paulo, but with a weak signal. He says, I heard it recently with nothing but musical programming. No commercials or even any announcements. He thinks they're probably getting ready to start a new format. It's one of the stations which plans to turn off its AM, presumably moving primarily to FM. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany has found that the former RB2 shortwave frequencies in Brazil are now listed on the site of Rádio Evangelizar, which, strangely enough, is www.padrereginaldomanzotti.org.br/padre. It has different coverage areas specified for the shortwave frequencies, which, of course, are all not exactly on the exact frequency, 6040, reaching states such as São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, 9725, more distant states from Paraná, such as Minas Gerais and Goiás, 11935, transcontinental reach to other countries. Alan Rowe, in his listening post for the British Jazz Club, says one of my favorite programs from China Radio International is A Light on Literature, Bringing to Life China's Literary Heritage. Currently featuring a reading from the book Mao Zedong, Man Not God, a biographical look at Mao through the eyes of one of his bodyguards from 1947 to 62, written as a first-person narrative. The publisher's blurb for the book, found on the web, says, the revealing, intimate, never-before-published recollections of Li Yinqiao, Mao's bodyguard, and brought to light by the author Xuan Yanqi. After 15 years of devoted service, Li received this request from Mao. If what happens in my family is a secret to others, it is not a secret to you. But don't write about me while I'm still alive. Wait until I die and write truthfully when you do. For the first time, the personal inside story of China's dynamic leader and world statesman is told. The life and thought of Mao, the husband, father, comrade in arms, and the peasant's son. Alan says, as of the episode on Friday, June 30th, heard at 1330 on 13670 and no doubt on many other frequencies and times, we are up to part 20, hearing Mao giving dating advice to his bodyguard. I suspect there has been much poetic license in the telling of this tale, but it's nonetheless quite entertaining. Who would ever have imagined hearing the Cultural Revolution being described as a national tragedy on Chinese radio? All the readings are very well done by Ian Reid, an English voice actor, although I find it a little hard to accept the choice of an Irish accent given to the dialogue by Mao Zedong. Anyhow, a great series I highly recommend. Meanwhile, in DX Listening Digest, as every week, we have plenty of logs of CNR1 being employed as jamming of other stations, and in some cases, even Fire Dragon music. Ron Howard in California says he heard the Chinese military numbers station, designated Victor Charlie 01, in the 40-meter handband. How strange. 7118 USB, July 12th at 0957. Thanks to a tip from Hiroyuki Komatsubara in Japan. July 8th at 0423, I was hearing two areas of DRM jam noise on the 40-meter handband, ranging approximately 7141 to 7155 and 7171 to 7179. That telltale noise indicates that Ethiopia was attacking Eritrea, which must have been active on its frequencies again, which may have been somewhere in the middle of these, around 7150 and 7175. But this late, I cannot even detect a just barely audible carrier within the noise. Some hams on LSP were still trying to work inside the noise bands. By the way, the intruder monitoring newsletter from IARU Region 1 includes these and a huge number of other intruders in all the ham bands. It's issued every month. Even so, it does not include anything as monitored from Region 2, the Americas. Iwe Ivanov in Bulgaria keeps monitoring various clandestines for Ethiopia, which are also jammed by this white noise digital jamming, including recently on July 7th, Voice of Oromo Liberation via Germany at 17 to 1730, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday on 15420. Sagali Kero Bili Suma, which is via France at 1630 to 1658, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on 17840. And Radio Shorio Ogaden via France at 16 to 1630, Tuesday and Saturday on 17630. I wonder if the proponents of DRM technology ever realized that it would make a great jamming system. In the Shortwave Sites group, Kai Ludwig in Germany reports, I heard from a recent visitor at Nauen how the guys had been scared by some wipes on the smartphone, making the antennas rotate, through a VPN connection, of course. It's one of the tools that makes it possible to continue that operation at all. What also struck their attention was a satellite dish with an exotic LNB, almost looking at the eastern horizon, which with an offset dish looks pretty weird. Media Broadcast used to receive NHK programming from Intelsat 20 at its Usingen teleport and forward it to Nauen, as they already did back then with the CRI feed for Pori, Finland, where the forwarding was done through the Hotbird MUX also used by Deutsche Welle. After some trouble with this detour, they tried to receive this C-band feed from Japan directly at Nauen with success. Mike Terry forwards a story from India Blooms in New Delhi, July 6th. All India Radio expects to commission two new shortwave solid-state digital transmitters of 100 kilowatt power each for dissemination of content across the border for Afghanistan and Pakistan region by the end of August this year. Digital, does that mean they're actually going to broadcast in DRM for Afghanistan and Pakistan? Hard to believe. The transmitters will be installed in Delhi. Ron Howard in California heard Voice of Indonesia July 12th at 10:01 with news in English on 9525.95 with interference from over-the-horizon radar. Ron says, years ago, who would have thought we would see the day that this country only had one active shortwave station? Yes, now RRI Ternate has been silent for several days from 3344.86, and RRI Palankaraya has been absent from 3325 through at least July 12th. Which reminds me, Anker Petersen in Denmark has published his annual Trends in Tropical Bands Broadcasting for this year. He compiles the number of active domestic transmitters between 2200 and 5800 kilohertz with comparisons to various previous years going back to 1973 and for different countries and regions of the world. For Indonesia, he has this listing. In 1973, 171 stations. In 1985, 105. In 1997, 65. In 2009, 13. and earlier in 2017, only 4. For the entire world over this span, he says the number of stations in that frequency range has dropped from 1,106 to 114. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1886. Non-commercial and also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for voluntary financial support from Robert W. Gruska in Glendale, New York, who sent a money order to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute by PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. In the medium wave circle, Andrew Braid in the U.K. says, Italy's IAM radio was heard this morning at 0300 on 1350 kilohertz, despite my antenna pointing in the opposite direction. University radio in York was off for the summer. What is the status of this station? Is it licensed? Guido Schotmans in Belgium says, I believe they're making use of a gap in the law that says experimental broadcasts are allowed without license. But maybe someone from Italy has better info. That someone is Giampiero Bernardini in Milano, who says, no, it is not licensed. In Italy, we are waiting for new medium wave rules. Some stations will be authorized, but on Italian ITU medium wave channels, that is 9 kilohertz. So I don't think it'll be on 1350. Anyway, this broadcasts from the Milan area. Andrew replies, I see the station is listed in the WRTH in the Italy pages, which is why I asked the question. I suppose Italian shortwave stations may be in a similar situation. Marconi Radio International advised that it would be back on the air after a gap of several weeks, Sunday, July 9th, between 0830 and 1130 UT on 11390 AM using their old transmitter of only 25 watts. It was barely heard by Manuel Mendez in Spain, actually on 11389.7, and by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, who put it on 11389.6. Steve Zimmerman in Milwaukee says, listening on my 25-meter converter on my bike on a very electrically quiet bike path. I heard this. I don't often hear it at this time of day. Frequency presumed 11680, KCBS, North Korea, 21 to 2120 Zulu, on July 8th. A female vocalist in a reverent style, typical of NK musical segments. Signal was 43554, the best I've ever heard this transmitter at this time of day. High side RTTY interference, but it was kept at bay by the good signals. The music programming dominated. Not a spoken word was heard during this reception. He describes his receiver as a homebrew 25-meter to 17 kilohertz converter. IF receiver is a realigned realistic 12655. The antenna, 35-inch base-loaded whip, resonated for 25 meters. Medium Wave Echo of the Arctic Radio Club, July 3rd, has this report from Odd Jørgen Sagdal in Norway about V6AH, Voice of Pohnpei, Colonia, Micronesia, on 1449 kilohertz. It was heard back on November 23rd at 1102 UT. He says, in Kungsfjord, a de-expedition site, we have for several years heard island music on 1449 when conditions favored the Pacific region, sometimes with news from Voice of America, but no station ID. We were quite certain this was V6AH, but had no proof until now. This time the signal was really clear and strong, and 2 minutes past the hour the closing ceremony started. Like other stations in this area, nothing is left out in the sign-off announcement, so we got our proof, and it took another 6 months to obtain a QSL, which has finally landed. On July 10th, Jean-Michel Aubier in France posted this bad news about Morocco. Medi 1 has canceled shortwave. According to mail from Abdellah El Atamami at the transmitting station, Medi 1 has stopped shortwave for good. That, of course, was very sporadic lately, but its only frequency was 9575. So now we must say R.I.P., rest in peace, another former shortwave country. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reminds us that it had been nominally running 24 hours with 250 kilowatts from Nador on 9575, 110 degrees toward North Africa in Arabic and French. And he provides his last recording of it from April 24th, several days before it went off for the last time. In mediumwave.info via MediumWave News, Willem Prince has this. About 10.08 kilohertz in the Netherlands, Groot Nieuws Radio. It's going to be going off the air. The last powerful AM outlet in the Netherlands will leave the air from September the 1st. The current user, the Christian broadcaster, Groot Nieuws Radio, has lost in an adjudication to keep the Flevoland transmitter in operation. They asked the authority to allow this. They had a contract until September. It says it's disappointed. AM should be needed to reach the entire country instead of distribution via DAB+, Internet, interactive TV, and the analog cable networks. Commercial users were hiring airtime on 10.08 kHz since 2004. Groot Nieuws Radio was supposed to be allowed to use it until 2020, but they'll have to look for something else. The transmitter site Flevoland started in 1980. It was the main site in the Netherlands with two transmitters of 600 kilowatts for the first two programs of Dutch public radio initially, the other frequency being 747 kilohertz. That was switched off definitely on September the 1st of 2015. And now 10.08 will be ending at the end of August this year. However, Mitya Kojancic says Groot Nieuws Radio is sending out a petition to keep Flevoland up. One of the last logs before it was unexpectedly turned off must have been June 7th of CKZN St. John's, Newfoundland on 6160, reported by John Cooper in Pennsylvania in CIDX Messenger, an ID at midnight 58 for CBC Radio 1. And now just in July 12th, an update on the situation from Richard Langley in New Brunswick. Latest info from St. John's is that there is no date as yet for CKZN returning to the air. Comments are still wanted, and not just from Labradorians. They are interested in getting comments from elsewhere in Canada. After all, Canadian taxpayers help to fund the CBC. All comments get funneled to Larry Wartman, who is the senior manager for transmission operations, based in Halifax. You might know him as a QSL card signer for some CBC stations. He can be reached at this phone number, 902-445-6040, or via email at larry.wartman@cbc.ca. That's W-A-R-T-M-A-N. Evidently, they do not want to hear from other North Americans. Nevertheless, Don Hosmer in West Branch, Michigan says, I just shot him an email. I used to listen to CBC Windsor when I lived in Dearborn for 40 years, but since moving to northern Michigan, I can no longer hear CBC AM or FM. CKZN was my only source of As It Happens and other shows, as my internet is slow and streaming doesn't work here in the sticks. CKZN has been my only way to hear the CBC, except very late at night when I occasionally hear some AM outlets. I sure hope they resume broadcasts on 6160. The Antichrist Pirate, station YHWH, was last reported on June 30th. Almost 2 weeks later, no reports of him have come through. His favorite frequency had been 7585, but before that had used many other frequencies and bands. Walt Salmony was wondering if anyone else has been hearing him or knows anything about the station. Rich Ray in Chicago says, considering he'd been on the air virtually every night in May and June, his absence is strange. Maybe he got that knock on the door again. It had been over a month since I last timed the automatic cutoff of the Radio Chosky Peru transmitter on 5980. When July 9th at 2328 UT, I started monitoring and kept with a just barely audible signal until it cut off the air at 2338. 10 minutes later. Then I calculated that this corresponded exactly to the previously measured slippage rate of 6.72 seconds later each 24 hours. But it's probably about time for them to reset their auto timer much earlier, closer back to 2330. Chuck, W3ON, forwards news from the ARRL website July 12th that WWV has changed its antenna on 25 megahertz, had been a standard vertical, to a circular polarized turnstile antenna, and they want reports about any reception. Well, I think that any reception is more dependent on whether there's a short skip, sporadic-y opening than what kind of antenna they're using. But it seems they hope this will be more useful during the eclipse in August. Artie Bigley forwards news about the 50-kilowatt station, Date Power anyway, in Chattanooga or Lookout Mountain, WFLI 1070. Also, according to reports from the Free Press in Chattanooga, it returned to the air on July 10th playing oldies, but on July 11th flipped to conservative talk. A comment by Eric John Magnuson to the Times Free Press story says, according to a press conference, the new format is mostly talk, local and morning drive, but also some dedicated oldies programming, especially on weekends. And the new owners plan to create a top 40 museum within the station's building. Tim Hall, ABDX, says he ran across the website of the 1350 station in Washington, Missouri, whose call letters are, believe it or not, KRAP. In fact, their slogan is Sports Crap. They say, we're for real, an FCC-licensed station pounding out a whopping 500,000 milliwatts. But we do realize that we're KRAP. In fact, our transmitter is crap, our signal is crap, our studios are crap, even our staff is crap. Mike Cooper forwards a New York Times story of July 11th that Microsoft planned to announce it is harnessing unused channels between television broadcasts, known as white spaces, to help get more of rural America online. A white spaces broadband service in 12 states, including Arizona, Kansas, New York, and Virginia, to connect 2 million rural Americans in the next 5 years who have limited or no access to high-speed internet. Well, this sounds like a good idea, but it may be the death knell for television DXing, depending on a few vacant channels in any location. And not only DXing, but the ability to pull in stations which aren't exactly local, but which could provide service. The medium wave echo of the Arctic Radio Club, Mano Ritla of WRTH, reported June 20th. The Venezuelan station on 690 YVMR, known as Deportivo Barquisimeto, has returned to the AM band with a new name. It now belongs to Circuito AM Centro. It was heard with a variety of musical styles, Llanera, Tropical, and IDs. Good news, as the station had been off the air for many months. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled, until August 5th, when a G1 minor storm is likely, with A and K indices bumping up to 25 and 5. Solar flux predicted to be 20 points higher than lately, 92 until July 16th, and then down to 85 by the 18th. And that's World of Radio 1886. Glenn Hauser, hoping you've enjoyed it, and will hear me again next week.